Good morning. My name is Dove Cranson. If I haven't met you, thanks for being here. And thank you all for being here. What a good day to get together. What an amazing thing to just have an hour and a half set aside from the week to intentionally come together, be aware of God, to really seek Him and to support each other in faith, encourage each other, hopefully grow in faith. What an amazing gift. I really just appreciated worshiping God this morning. What an amazing God we have. How incredible. How beyond our understanding, how beyond what we can fathom, and yet He reveals Himself to us. Yet He lets Himself be known and even cares at our level, cares for what's going on in our lives and cares that we would love Him and respond to Him. Tremendous. What an amazing thing. I trust God is working in each one of your lives and calling you and working on you and blessing you and taking you into new places and pushing you out of your comfort zone and in that place revealing more of Himself. And tremendous. And so my hope is that this isn't just some kind of just going through the motions. We just come and sing our songs and listen to some words. Go through the motions, say hi to people, and go on with our lives. But I hope there's more here. I hope we really connect with God. I feel like God is moving. God is at work. And so may we be aware and attentive. Today I want to talk about facing our pain. And so it's not the most exciting thing. It's not, maybe not the most feel-good message you will hear this year. But I want to just ask you and give you the freedom this morning to engage with that. And if during this time God puts something on your heart, go ahead and feel it. If there's some tears that need shed, go ahead and shed them. If it takes you to a place you've resisted and you feel God calling you there, go for it. Let Him take you there. And trust that He's good and He's gentle. And so I don't want to drag anybody into their pain, like you're going to face your pain today. But I think in our lives there's a time and a place when we need to engage with the pain of our lives. And we need to face it and find God in it, because God is in it. So why don't we pray, and then we will kind of look through this. Thank you, God. Thank you for being God. What an amazing God you are. What an amazing healer. What an amazing comforter. What an amazing King. What an amazing Savior. What an amazing giver of freedom and gifts. What an amazing God of strength and power. What an amazing God who should be feared more than all things. What an amazing God you are, of love and awesomeness. You are awesome, God. We acknowledge you. We come before you. We ask that you would teach us. We ask that we would hear from you. We ask that we would not run from you, but we would walk on the path you're taking us on. We ask that you would reveal more of yourself to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So in my own life, the beginning of kind of pain in my life, I grew up with a single mom after my parents were divorced. I also had a mom who was really wounded. And so my mom's mom had my mom. Did you guys follow that? My grandma had my mom when she was like 18. So she was the oldest. And a lot of times my grandma would blame all of her problems on my mom. And basically, you ruined my life. My life was going well. And then at 18, I got pregnant. You came along and you ruined my life. And she would say all kinds of horrible things to my mom. Even when, much later in my mom's life, when my grandpa had an affair, my grandma blamed that on my mom. That it was somehow my mom's doing that he needed to go and have an affair. And so my mom had all these wounds from her own life. And so in her kindness to us, she never wanted to put any of that on us. And so all of the, she was never good enough growing up. She was totally not like that. It's like the house could be a wreck and she would just let us trash it. I think my mom did an amazing job trying to deal with her pain. And one of the main things my mom did is she gardened. And she would spend hours out in the garden. And she grew these beautiful flower beds all around our house. Just amazing. And sometimes growing up, I felt like my mom loved her garden more than she loved me. And I had this sense that I wanted to take away my mom's pain. And so I noticed that, you know, certain things made my mom happy. And I thought if I could make my mom happy, I could take away her pain. But no matter how successful I was in school, no matter how well I did in a certain achievements, I couldn't take away my mom's pain. And no matter how much I would just, you know, not rock the boat and never speak my thoughts and never, like, bring any conflict, sometimes just go stay at a friend's house, I couldn't take away my mom's pain. And no matter how much I tried to be perfect and follow all the rules and do everything right, I could make my mom happy, but I could never take away her pain. And even to this day, sometimes I try to, like, make people happy to try to relieve their pain. Somehow I can smooth the whole world over if I can just make people happy. And so I kind of came about to this ways of being a people pleaser. That's like really natural to me. If I can just make you all happy, then there will be no conflict. Life will be good. All of our pain, your pain and mine, will be taken care of. But it doesn't work. And as I'm getting older, some of these messed up ways of thinking that I got actually bring trouble. They actually mess up my relationships, get in the way of my relationship with God. This summer I was reading a book my cousins introduced me to, and in there it was talking about the pain that we got as children. And I just want to throw this out. Pain has affected who we are, each one of us, at some level. And in this book, it's called The Sacred Enneagram. They said, as children, we internalize the pain of imperfect upbringings. And it's not even that we had bad parents or mean parents or like anything. It's just, it was imperfect. Life is not perfect. This internalization of pain is a result of transmitting and absorbing our human inability to love perfectly as well as receive love perfectly. So it's just because we're human, we don't give love perfectly and we don't receive love perfectly. It's just the nature of it. And so there's a certain amount of pain from relationships. And so then we do these things to deal with it. And they talked about 9 different ways that people deal with this. This isn't like my main focus today. As I go through these, I just want you to kind of listen to each one and see if one of those connects of like, oh yeah, I connect to that. That's like, that's part of me. That's what I've done in my life. So type 1, these children felt heavily criticized, punished, or not good enough. Household rules may have felt inconsistent. As such, they became obsessed with being good or not making mistakes to avoid condemnation. The principal message was, you always must be better than you are. Some of you might connect with that. Type 2. These children felt loved only if they were helping or pleasing others. Their personal needs felt selfish. As a result, they closed off their own needs and feelings and turned to those of others. Love became defined as giving to others, though the love often didn't feel received or reciprocated. Some of you might connect with that. Type 3, these children felt rewarded only for what they did and how well they did it. Their feelings were discounted and ignored. Only their performance and what was expected of them mattered. This harmed their ability to love themselves and others. Admiration replaced real love. Some of you guys can relate to that. Type 4, these children felt abandoned by one or both caretakers. They felt alone, cut off from the source of love for reasons they couldn't understand. They were not seen or mirrored and felt different from their parents. As a result, they turned inward to their feelings and imagination to cope in isolation. Some of you can relate to that. Type 5. These children receive no meaningful interaction, emotion, or affection from caretakers. Or they had intrusive, over-controlling parents and felt exposed and defenseless in the face of this intrusion. As a result, they built walls around themselves and retreated to the mental realm. Some of you can relate to that. Type 6. These children were raised in an unpredictable situation with no safe place to go. They lost faith they would ever be protected. As such, they turned to their own inner defense of doubting, disbelieving reality, and rejecting their own instincts and inner guidance. Some of you can probably relate to that. Type 7. These children were deprived of nurturing, or it was removed too soon. They handled this lack by searching for distractions to minimize or repress the fear and pain. They decided to focus on positive options and rely on themselves to fulfill their desires and gain a sense of nurturance. Some of you can probably relate to that. Type 8. The children often grew up in an unsafe environment, emotionally and or physically. They had to mature way too soon. They didn't feel safe to show any vulnerability and may have felt controlled. Weakness was used against them, so they focused only on building their strength. Some of you can relate to that. Type 9, these children were overlooked or neglected and felt unimportant or lost. They were ignored or attacked for having needs or expressing themselves, especially anger, and decided to keep a low profile and instead focus on the needs and experiences of others. Okay, some of you can probably relate to that. My point in this is, I have a really deep sense that all of us have been affected by pain. And all of who we are at some level has been influenced by that. The way that we respond to situations, the things that we believe about ourselves, the way that we express our emotions or don't, the way that we consider love. Some of that is a response to a pain in our lives. And so we do lots of things to cope with pain. A lot of life is pain management. And we also do a lot of things to prevent future pain. A lot of the decisions we make are just orienting around what will not bring pain. And how do we cope with pain? Some of the ways that we try to cope with pain, at times we can disconnect our pain from reality and from God. It's like, here's this world of pain, and that's not real. I'm just going to go over here, and I'm going to find God over here. I'm going to find my happy place. I'm going to go to this magical land where God is, and there's no pain. And yet what happens is we've disconnected from reality. This is reality. And the more that I've grown and seen, God is in the middle of reality. God is not in some magical land that is free from all pain. God is in reality. And part of reality is pain. And anybody who tells you there isn't pain is trying to sell you something. Because part of reality is pain. And the amazing thing is, God sent his son Jesus right into the middle of the pain. Right in the middle of reality. He didn't just pull us out. That's too hard. I'm going to take you into some illusion. If you will just believe me, all of your problems will be solved. Nope. But instead, God comes right into the middle of our reality and pain. Jesus comes into it. And the amazing thing is then he lets himself suffer that pain with us and for us. And so there's this, I think sometimes we're trying to find God in some separate place. And when we're kids, that's actually really good. I've only recently appreciated that. When you're a kid and you're coping with crazy stuff, it's good to cope with it. It's good to tap out, go into an imaginary land, do all kinds of things that kids do to cope with pain. That is totally fine and healthy. But as we get older, it no longer is useful. As we get older, we have to move into reality, move towards God, move into a healthy place and away from these things that we have created to help us be free from pain. So, and some of the things we do, you guys have your own stuff. I got mine. We can numb our pain through all kinds of stuff. Denial. This doesn't really hurt. I don't have any pain in my life. Blaming. That's like, well, it's not, it's your fault. It's because of him. It's because of her. It's because of this. Rationalizations. Well, it really didn't hurt. It was really because of this, and there was this. Addictions. We are the kings and queens of addictions. The United States is, we've had more addictions and way to escape than ever were invented in the history of the world. Man, I got some that I like. You guys have any places you go just to tap out? But then they become addictive later. Avoidance, just not dealing with it. And so today I think what I want to just say, as we move away from some of these, some of those things are really good. They help us survive. We would be completely destroyed without some avoidance. We can't just totally face all of it all at once. That would be horrible. We need to cope with pain. And yet as we mature, God can draw us out of that. God can allow us into a place where He is. And God is really gentle. God is so tender. I'm amazed at how tender God is with me. And God doesn't just kick down the things that are helping us survive. He draws us slowly out of those. And so may we each be able to turn towards God. The thing that I've been pondering and just seeing pain in other people's lives, some of the people I talk to have tremendous pain in their lives. And some people in this room have gone through tremendous pain in their lives. And what does the Bible say about pain? What are we supposed to do? Does the Bible tell us, like, what YouTube video really takes care of that pain? What does the Bible say about pain? How do we deal with it? And so the example that I found, the instruction that I see, is that we can come to God and experience God in the middle of reality. And I see the same model in Job, if you guys have read Job, Jeremiah, David, and in Jesus, all over the Bible. This example of facing pain. And so I want to look at one in Hebrews 5. We're going to go through this and kind of look at the example of Jesus. So it says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, He offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save Him from death. And He was heard because of His reverent submission. Son though He was, He learned obedience from what He suffered. And once made perfect, He became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey Him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. It's a really amazing, really powerful passage. I don't know, as you read that, there's a lot of things that it kind of messes with my mind, because it kind of shapes my understanding of the Trinity. So in my understanding, I believe that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all God. And there's only one God. Together they are one, and they are each God. And so it's amazing. So Jesus was God, and as we looked at a couple weeks ago, he set aside his the fullness of being God and came into our world as a baby, as a human, and grew up in that frailty. So Jesus was fully God and fully man. Okay, if that doesn't mess with your head. And that's part of what I really love, is like, if I could totally understand God, I don't think he'd be God. It'd be like some construct. So the times when I think I fully understand God is like, okay, I've just created a little God that I fully understand. So it's amazing to me to think of Jesus learning anything. Jesus learned on earth. Jesus was taught. He was trained during life. Okay, we're going to look at this, and I want to look at this just as an example of Jesus as a person, what it's like as a person before the Father. Okay, so the first thing it says is that during the days of his life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears. Okay, so he offered up prayers and petitions with tears. It wasn't just like, ah, God, whatever. Please bless these guys. A little pain. But the depths of it, he came to his Father, he came to God in seriousness with fervent cries and tears. So Jesus acknowledged his pain to God. What an amazing thing. Jesus acknowledged his pain to God. And you see the same in the Psalms. And the Psalms, as a model of our prayer life, they just pouring out their pain, their complaint. The word lament is related to the word complaint. And there's this whole book of the Bible called Lamentations. And it's just Jeremiah complaining to God. The whole thing. And there's a bunch of Psalms, and the whole Psalm is just complaining to God. Just being real. This is awful. Look at this pain. This is horrible. And being real with it and acknowledging it, not sugarcoating it, not leaving it, not glossing over it. And all these questions, some of the biggest questions of life, I think, why does somebody get this pain and somebody get this pain? I have no idea. Why do some people get born into this pain and some people get born into this pain? I don't know, because God is God. But in the middle of that, the pain is real, and Jesus brought it to the Father. And I think as we are able to mature, we can turn and face our pain. Turn and look it in the eyes and say, God, this hurts. I didn't want this. This is real. Here it is. And this is interesting too. It says, he gave cries and petitions to the one who could save him from death. I was talking about this with Steve. The Father didn't save Jesus from death. He let him die on the cross. He offered up his prayers to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. That's amazing. He was heard, but God still let him die. But God heard him. God heard his prayers because of his reverent submission. And that, so the second part that I see, the example of Jesus, in reverence, he submitted to God. And that amazing picture of Jesus before he died, before the Father, crying out, please take this away from me. Please don't make me walk into this. Please. And then he says, but your will be done. Your will be done. Reverence, submission. Have your way. Go for it. I think another way of saying reverence, submission is he waited. And he waited while he was trusting God. My God can save me. My God is awesome. I will trust him and I will wait. I want to go through some verses. They're on the back of your handout, just on the power of waiting. It's got to be one of the worst four-letter words there is, right? Wait. Have you ever liked waiting? Ever? Man. And waiting for God in the midst of something difficult can be really brutal sometimes. I'm just going to read these kind of slowly. I want you just to let them soak in. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Psalm 33:20. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Psalm 37:7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Psalm 41, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and He heard my cry. Psalm 130:5, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in His word, I put my hope. Psalm 136, I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Proverbs 20:22, do not say, I'll pay you back for this wrong. Wait for the Lord, and He will avenge you. Isaiah 8:17, I will wait for the Lord, who is hiding His face from the descendants of Jacob. I will put my trust in Him. Isaiah 26:8, yes, Lord, walking in the way of Your laws, we wait for You. Your name and renown are the desire of our hearts. Isaiah 30:18, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, He will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for Him. Lamentations 3:24 through 26. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. That one is so powerful too, because like I said, it's in this book of complaint, just pouring out all of the junk and all of the pain and how hard you read it, it breaks your heart. And in the middle of it, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him. What an amazing trust to sit and wait. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good to wait. The last thing that I see in this example and in others in the Bible, it says Jesus learned obedience from what He suffered. As a man, He learned obedience. He had to learn. He learned obedience from what He suffered, and once made perfect, He became the source of eternal salvation. Jesus allowed God to bring something new, something good out of His suffering. And the biggest thing of that was our salvation. His suffering brought us good. And He waited. He allowed God, you want to bring something brand new. He allowed God to take out of the ashes and bring new life from a burned up forest to bring a beautiful new growth. And in our lives, the same is true. As we wait for God, He brings something new. So the question I have is, will we acknowledge the pain before God? Will we allow God to be present in the pain? Will we wait in reverent submission? submitting ourselves to God's hand, His timing. He can have His way. Will we trust God to bring new life out of the ashes? As many of you guys know, when I was a teenager, my oldest sister passed away. And I have four brothers. Us five boys would all say that from the pain of that, God did a tremendous work in us. None of us grew up going to church. We had a certain amount of faith in God. All of us individually came to Jesus. And if you talk to me, you talk to my brothers, they'll say part of that was our sister dying. Part of that was God got a hold of us from that in a really beautiful way. And out of that pain, out of that tremendous pain, God brought something new. He brought new life. And the Psalms say, when there's weeping in the evening, there's rejoicing in the morning. And I don't come before you today to minimize any pain and say, pain's easy, just face it and deal with it, it's done. It's a tremendous process with God that we're all in. And I don't think you guys should throw out all your coping mechanisms today. I think it's totally fine to feel pain and overwhelmed and just veg out on a good movie. That is totally appropriate. And as God in His gentleness and tenderness pulls us towards that pain, we can find God is in the pain. God will meet us in it, and it hurts. And our old view of God gets broken down. And even as Job says at the end, I had heard about you, but now I see you. When we face it, the reality of God becomes greater. Our relationship becomes one of deeper tenderness and intimacy. Rather than just a relationship of give me, give me, give me, becomes a relationship of I'm yours, I'm with you, I can sit with you. And to know God. Sometimes I wish I had a magic wand, I could stop all the pain in the whole world. If I could, I'd probably take away your pain, all of it. But I think we find God in the midst of it as we engage in it, as we find it. And that process, bring it to God. Will we bring it to God and wait for Him? Will we let Him bring something new out of it? What a battle. Everything inside of me fights against that. Give me a quick fix, God. Take it away today. Solve it today. I don't want to sit and wait. But there's newness on the other end of that. That new birth, that new life that comes after the grave. Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And His new life comes to us. I like this author, Pete Scazzaro, how he says it. We all face many deaths within our lives. The choice is whether these deaths will be terminal, crushing our spirit and life, or open us up to new possibilities and depths of transformation in Christ. And there's a prayer on here, kind of connects with my heart in pain. And if that's useful to you as you pray, we'll just take some time during communion. But I connect with this. Lord Jesus, when I think about my losses, it can feel that I have no skin to protect me. I don't know if you feel that way. I feel raw, scraped to the bone. I don't know why you have allowed such pain. Looking at Job and Jesus helps, but I must admit that I struggle to see anything new being birthed out of the old. Lord, grant me the courage to feel, to pay attention, and then to wait on you. Enlarge my soul through the trials and losses of my life. In Jesus' name. And that's my heart, even in this. I would encourage you today, if there's something stirred up in you, take some time to be with God today. Take some time in the busyness of life to just set it aside and be real with God. And you'll find that He's even more real than you've ever known. And if you would like some extra prayer here, I would love to pray with you, Bruce and Lori. Would love to pray with you. Grab somebody and have them pray with you. God brings new things out of the old. Let's pray. right. Father, thank you for your awesome power. Thank you that you bring new things out of the ashes. Thank you that you know our pain and walk with us in it. Thank you that we're not alone in it. Thank you that you are consistently making things new. Thank you for the promise of heaven, where all things will be new, where our bodies will be new and our minds, where there will be no more crying and pain. Thank you for the reality right now where there is pain, but I thank you that you're in it. Thank you that you're here and you walk with us in it. Thank you for giving us companions that walk with us in it as well. I thank you so much for being with us. God, I don't minimize, I acknowledge that there is pain. And I don't know why you allow it sometimes. I don't know why certain people have it. I don't know why I have the pain I have, but give us the courage to be real with it, to be real with you, and to wait for you. Show yourself faithful to each and every person here. In Jesus' name, amen.